I'm Hannah Fitman.
I'm Gavin Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Westhuizen.
And we are
the Fat Boy Podcast.
So messy.
You know, it's a good start to the morning when you can't even remember your own name, Hanako.
This is true.
Yeah, you're like, am I?
Who am I?
Am I Catherine? Am I Hanako?
Am I Hannah van der Westhuizen?
Who knows?
How are we?
Oh.
Jinx personal padlock. Yeah, I'm good. I saw James Bond last night.
Yes.
Tell us all.
I won't tell you all because I don't want to spoil it for you or for the listeners, but it is so good. Honestly, guys,
I've heard great stuff.
Everything you could possibly dream of. And like having done the episode last week about James Bond, having all that background knowledge about it and then seeing it, honestly, it like satisfied every single fibre of my being.
Oh my God.
Yeah, amazing.
In terms of not just like what you expect from a Bond film, but also what you expect from a Bond film in 2021.
Good.
And the female characters. And also Bond himself as a man,
yeah,
as a modern man. Oh, it blew me away.
That's really
amazing. I can't wait for you guys to watch it.
I feel like I'm still, even though people are being like, it's so good, I'm like, I'm holding my skepticism because I'm looking forward to being proved wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think because we did that episode and we learned so much of the horrors behind, the origin of James Bond and throughout the kind of history and also current history too, it's obviously you're going into it being like, oh yeah, but he's a bad bloke. And, you know, I don't want to say too much.
James isn't a bad bloke. Ian Fleming was a bad bloke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole legacy.
The whole legacy.
Was one thing, and now they're saying this legacy can be more.
And James Bond can be a really brilliant... Is it that James Bond could be a really brilliant figurehead for change, and it can be an exciting new turn on this character, which once was, because it was written by such a terrible person, like if we change who's in the writing seat, we can still have these great stories but without all these absolutely horrific problematic tropes.
I think so. Mm. And this like this role model of what a man is meant to be, and you it was the first time that I've fancied James Bond.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Really?
Well, congratulations.
Fancied him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So that was very exciting.
Is this your coming out?
Is that the skip?
You're coming out as having a crush on James Bond.
Yes!
Guys, I have this big news.
Yeah, yeah. And also, all the women in it are just divine. And I'm not going to say anymore. But Ana de Armas,
great.
Sweet Lord Jesus. Oh. Oh my God.
Oh, but she can stomp on my neck all day long.
Yeah. She can be my prison guard.
She can. Oh my God. Drop all the soap.
How are you guys?
I'm not going to make that joke actually.
You made it.
In my head, I was going, don't make it, don't make the joke. And then I was like, it's a cheap gag. And am I one to turn away from a cheap gag?
No,
no I am not.
Absolutely
I'm a cheap,
not.
I'm a cheap lady and I'm not a dame to say it.
How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah. Go on, Kath, fill us in. What's new?
I don't know. What's new? Oh, something is new. I went to a gig the other night. I was telling Hanneke about this. And So there were like a bunch of different comedians at this amazing night in Notting Hill. It's called The Big Fitters. It's on Wednesday nights. It's at the Little Yellow Door and it's downstairs and they have this like incredible lineup of comedians.
Oh, so far. Oh, I really miss going to comedy.
I know. It was so good. It was so much fun. It was such a good crowd and it was great. And it just made me laugh because one of the comedians had like songs in his set. Mm-hmm. And I was listening back to the Listener Stories episode, and I was listening to myself talking about how people singing give me the ick on like a whole nother level. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I fancied him.
No, it's different because honestly, last man's bed, anyone, yeah, you yeah. could have like objectively so far away from being aesthetically anything that you were into, but if they are funny, panty dropper.
That, sorry, that like, but that's the fourth commandment in the Bible, isn't it? Like, thou shalt be funny and thou shalt drop thy panties. Yeah.
Yeah, for those yeah. who make laughter. It's payment. The jester was not paid. He was not on the king's payment. No. He just got laid a lot.
Yes.
And that is why it's such a...
Is that actually true?
No.
Oh. Lord above, help me.
It might be true.
Do you know what? Yeah, it could be. If you can imagine it, it's probably true.
So hopefully, Kath, this comedian listens to this podcast, learns that you are deeply in love with him, and then you're on your way.
No, I feel panty dropping the law. I feel a fraud.
Feel a fraud?
I feel a fraud. I was going on about my ick.
No, because it's very different. It's very different. It's very different. Well, someone playing Wonderwall is completely different to a very witty
song. It's a whole other story.
It's so different.
Also, on icks, guys... Oh my God. This is the last time I'm allowed to mention him because he's made an he's put an embargo on mentioning him, my boyfriend, partner. Don't know which word to use really because both feel very weird to like, I don't know, neither feel like they're enough or too much. You know what I mean? Mm. Boyfriend feels too casual. Partner feels too like we're like CEOs together in some strange business.
I always think of partner as being a good one though because it's not gendered.
Mm. Yeah. Okay,
what, so I'll use like my partner sexy, for the sake though, of this. Do you know what I mean? Like, boyfriend's a bit fun.
It just feels a bit like, oh, my boyfriend. Yeah. And, like, do you know what I mean? But ooh,
Definitely worth unpacking, oh, my don't you think? I find it so interesting, like, the commitment thing around, like, when you're in between the boyfriend and the partner
right.
term. And it's like, yeah. why do we minimise the term boyfriend? When actually, if you're agreeing to be in a monogamous relationship with someone, that's a fucking huge deal in and of itself.
This is very true, Hannah. I don't know. I feel like I maybe because we've been together for 6 years, it feels like not enough.
Why don't you just call him like your partner in crime?
I love that. I love that. My partner in crime. He listened to the Listen Stories app. I was being a little dick about him and his fashion sense in that River Island shirt. And the last thing that I have to say about him is that he is amazing. He's a very good dresser. And I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh. I actually must agree that yes. I think Jack is an excellent dresser. And also, it must be said that Jack is an excellent person. And I say that with my chest.
He is so excellent. He's way better than I am. I'm a terrible person. And I'm really, really sorry.
No, you're not. You're wonderful and you're with him. He's wonderful. And you're with him because you're wonderful. But I actually remember writing, when we started this podcast, which was a book, I remember writing about Jack in one of my things about how he gives me hope that nice people exist, nice partners are possible. Because he's truly a 10 out of 10.
He's a 10.
And he is like the opposite of a fuckboy.
Yeah. Oh, in every way.
Yeah. So.
And he gives me hope for Libras.
And I love you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm allowed to say now. I'm not allowed to speak about him anymore.
Okay, never again shall... He shall become the Voldemort of this podcast.
You shall not be shamed.
only the OG listeners will know Jack's name. Anyway.
How are you, Hannah? Are you very sleepy?
Yeah, I'm... It's so interesting because I know I've got 5 weeks left. And
yes, I was thinking this. You don't have long left.
No.
Oh my God, what the fuck?
But it is that thing of being like, I'm so hyper aware that I'm now in the alternate universe and that I'm going to come back and be out of the alternate universe, the bubble. Because we can't do anything socializing, I've literally been around the same people, very select number of people, for like 17 weeks.
Yeah, that's intense.
It's actually been like a real pleasure because there's so many brilliant people on it. But it also is just that weird thing post-pandemic where I'm like, I feel like I've gone from my tiny bubble of like living with my mum to what feels like the equivalent of living in like a really tiny town. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to come back to London and be like, it's going to be like being entering the big city again. I'm like, I don't know. It's going to be really nice. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Just ease yourself in. Do you know what I mean?
Oh no, I've we'll had be wi- to go full
we'll be
hog.
Winding our way down to actually, yeah, you're not going to ease yourself in, are you?
No, that's very off-brand for me. But I will say that actually it was really nice to be completely taken away by doing research for this episode.
Yeah.
Because
oh my god, I cannot wait.
The most Virgo thing of me of all time. I literally was like, guys, I am so busy. I'm so exhausted. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull out the bag and, you know, get a good episode. I might need you to pull some weight on this. And instead, I've picked someone that I think could possibly span 2 weeks because their life is so massive.
I mean, so it is the most Hannah thing to do in so the Virgo. Whole entire world.
Yeah.
Kath and I are like, oh, gosh, got to do research.
Hannah's I love like, it.
No, to be fair, I fucking love it.
Same.
I live for the research. It's so, send me on a Wikipedia page. I will go down that hole.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, love it. Live for it.
Okay, Hannah, we are ready. Speaking of healthy gals.
Am I a healthy gal?
No, I think, are you bringing us a fair?
Oh, interesting. What do you have any ideas of what you think I'm doing?
No.
I'm like hoping obviously for a queer icon.
Yeah, no, alas.
Alas.
I've gone true fuckboyery this
She's
week, guys.
Gone.
Yeah, I thought I've got some really great queer icons in the mix to come actually. And I was like, I could do them this week, but having listened to Lula so recently, I was like, we need to drag someone first.
Fuck yeah.
And boy oh boy, can we drag this fuckboy. You might know him. Kind of so iconic that his name literally means... It's like another word for fuckboy.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Is it C or L? Casanova
with
or Lothario? It's C.
It's C. Oh. We're doing Giacomo Casanova.
Oh, my God, Hannah, that was going to be my next one. So this is... I mean, great minds think alike, baby.
Oh my God, clearly they do.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
This is great because you know what, guys?
Well, first off,
do you know anything about Casanova?
Only that his name is synonymous with fuckboy.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, I started looking at his Wikipedia page and I was just like, wow, this is a fucking gold mine.
Gold mine. And also his Wikipedia page doesn't have hardly any of the shit that he did.
The way that you said that.
Like, I couldn't believe it because I read it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, there's loads of fascinating stuff that he did in his life. But oh my God, some of the stuff that can't be on the Wikipedia page because... yeah, it's not Wikipedia appropriate. Oh, yes.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Yeah. So... he is so, like... known for all of the, I would say atrocious is like a very valid thing to say, like his womanizing, his name is synonymous with a womanizer. And it all came to a head because he wrote a biography called Story of My Life.
Oh my God, what a narcissist.
Here's a story all about Casanova.
Yeah, literally. But they're like endless volumes. And what's really great about them is it's a really good look into what, like, social mannerisms and you know, what life was like then in a really authentic way, but also sex sells. Yeah. So people love it.
It's like Peep's Diary, but with loads more fucking. And from when?
What time? Peeps. Samuel Peeps. I was like, from who's the Peeps?
Was Samuel Peeps the one that buried his cheese and wine in the garden?
Yeah, bro.
That's so funny. When the Great Fire of London happened, Samuel Peeps buried his cheese and wine
in
the garden.
He must have been a tourist.
What an icon.
That's actually so funny. I haven't thought about that in so long, but actually... what a genius.
What else would you want to bury?
Being like, my prized possessions, I'm going to leave grandma to burn in the fire, but my cheese and wine is getting buried and saved.
Getting fucking buried.
So it's good.
That energy is, I'm really here for it, to be honest. Priorities. So, just to clarify, two things. I will barely scratch the surface of this man's life. And to be honest with you, he did loads of really interesting political things, but I don't really care for that. No. I'm not here for that. This is not the podcast for that. There will be like a BBC Sounds, that really gets into the nitty gritty of all of that. But we are truly here for his fuckboyery. So,
hell yeah.
I actually, you know, if any history nerds want to at me, like, please do, because I'm really into that. But I am probably going to, you know, focus more on the guttural, the things that should be in the gutter, basically.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I'm going to say is few mentions of sexual assault. Not going to go into detail, but because of, like, the nature of the amount of sex and everything, there's going to be a few mentions. So we'll start at the beginning, shall we? Strap in. Lock yourself in, ladies. We're off. I take you back to 1725.
Oh, I love it! I felt like we were in a little time machine just then.
Oh, God. We've actually gone back. Where are we? Paint the picture.
Okay. So it's 1725, the time of Giacomo Casanova's birth, and Venice was thriving. It is known as the pleasure capital of Europe. It's a required stop on the Grand Tour, which I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's basically the 1700s version of a lad's holiday. And it is known because of the famed carnival, the one where they wear the masks, and we all know what happens in anonymity.
Fucking.
What?
Oh!
Debauchery is what happens in anonymity.
Ew.
So we have the famed carnival, we have the gambling houses, and of course, the beautiful courtesans. All of them huge draws for all the youthful, hot, young, salacious men coming through to spend their money and have a good time.
Coming through.
Exactly.
If you get my meaning.
So it's only appropriate that the Lothario, that is Casanova, has become the most famous representative citizen of Venetian history.
Really?
Well, he's like, the definitely
famous
for this
Venetian.
I think probably not the most famous ever, but definitely for this time period when it was like that really like fun, very liberal, very wild sort of time period for Venice. So Giacomo Casanova, born in 1725 to an actress called Zanetta and an actor dancer called Gaetino Casanova.
Oh, and he's like that bourgeois kind of just arty.
Bohemian.
Very bohemian.
Was he wealthy? Were they wealthy?
No, not particularly. I mean, they I think they were fine. He had several siblings. I think he had five siblings. But his mum used to travel and be on tour all the time. So he was actually raised by his grandma rather than his mum. And he was a child that used to get a lot of nosebleed, so I can really imagine him being like that little
so annoying,
whiny,
so annoying,
thinking they're little really smart kid. Yeah, weedy kids, and he's get loads of nosebleeds,
constantly bleeding nose,
and if not bleeding, God,
always
snotty,
a bloody tissue. A little hanky in his pocket with blood all over it.
Yeah, he's just one of those kids that you're just like, I'm sorry, but you are not cute.
No,
I kind of want to drop kick you out of my vicinity.
One of those kids where you're like, you couldn't pay me enough money to look after you, actually. His grandma felt the same. We'll circle back. So I just wanted to keep this in because I thought it was so funny. His grandma was like, you're getting a lot of nosebleeds. I'm going to take you to see a witch.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
and he wrote about it and he said, leaving the gondola, we enter a hovel where we find an old woman sitting on a pallet with a black cat in her arms and five or six others around her.
Oh, it means I'm going to cry.
Yeah, that's
literally all I want.
He went and saw Kath.
Okay, you are the witch in this story. Yeah. Okay, we're going to cast as we go along.
Oh, my God.
You are the witch.
Okay.
Can I be the several cats? Great.
I'll be the gondola.
Oh my!
Who's the grandma? Hannah would be grandma so far.
Yeah, props. But I can't be James Corden level embarrassing of cats in Cats. I don't get a tail coming out of my bum
coming out of your bum hole.
You know what? That is a really sad thing.
I don't
thing.
Get to stand on my hind legs.
That is the stuff of nightmares. Honestly, Cats was humiliating all around.
I couldn't see it.
No, I got like one third of the way through and I was like, you know what, life's too short, goodbye. Anyway, we digress. So Grandma takes Casanova to get his nosebleeds fixed. Alas, the witch, her remedy doesn't really work. Shocker. But they assume it's like the density of the air in Venice. So he gets sent off to a boarding house in Padua, probably also because he's like annoying, an annoying child.
I swear to God, everyone Padua. Goes to Padua.
Is that like Shakespeare?
That's Shakespeare. That's in Romeo and Juliet, isn't it?
Padua.
You know
Padua.
What? That's what I read on Wikipedia, so I'm assuming it's right.
Yeah, no, Padua's definitely right.
Oh, great.
It's a goddamn place.
It all goes down in Padua.
Exactly. Oh shit! It does.
It not in this one. But he was raised. He was, you know, having experiences in Padua. Something.
So
went
how
down
old
Padua.
Was he when he got sent off?
I think he's about 9 years old when he gets sent off to boarding school, and he is furious about it. He feels really neglected by his parents, and in his writing, he wrote, "So they got rid of me."
Oh,
so sassy.
Teen, I love it.
Honestly, ridiculous. Oh this God, is him. Those... No, this is him when he's old and reflecting back, and he's still. Bitter.
I mean, to be fair, you would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Being, well, 9 years old, getting shipped off to boarding school, that must
some
suck.
People have a wonderful time when they get shipped off really young, but for him, he hated it. Like when he arrived at the boarding schools, the conditions were horrific.
Oh, God. No.
So bad that he actually ended up moving in with his tutor, who was also a priest. Actually, apparently a very, very nice man.
Oh,
yeah,
yay.
Had a lovely time. And Casanova's pretty thrilled about it because the priest had a younger sister called Bettina.
Hello.
This is his first contact with the opposite sex. So she's older than him. And she comes down, he's 11 years old, and she just decides to have a little fondle, of which he wrote... Bettina was pretty, light-hearted, and a great reader of romances. The girl pleased me at once, though I had no idea why. It was she who little by little kindled my heart at the first sparks of a feeling which later became my ruling passion.
Oh, chill out, man.
He is, when I say this man, this bloke is obsessed with sex. He harks back to all of his like first experiences and he's like, that set me off for basically what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, which was just shag, shag, shag.
So he's an infomaniac.
I mean, it's interesting because he's either just like the most liberal lover and like, you know, enjoyer of sex of all time, or, you know, he wasn't starving himself. He wasn't getting to like Lord
Rasputin
Byron levels. Yeah, and
Rasputin
levels of like right. nearly dying for sex. But boy, was that his main drive in life.
So interesting. Why? It's like, what? Okay, why? 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 Well, what is the why behind the drive? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
we all love a good woman.
If he's 11 and an older woman.
She's not that much older. I don't know if it's a sickness as much as, like, I don't know. Yeah, just really, like, as in, you know, some people love to drink slightly too much. You're like, it's not actually ruining your life. He just really had like a real
sex drive,
lust for the B.
Yeah, and what's the word? It's his kryptonite, basically.
His dick tonight,
and he's just obsessed with women. He just loves them and everything about them and the sensuality. You can tell this is someone who like is hungry for life in every capacity. He every sensual activity he just. Loves and goes in for. But also, tell you what else I think is it must be partly a distraction because this guy is so smart. He is like hyper intelligent, hyper like everything. He has the world as his oyster in a massive way. He must come off very mature. He went to university at 12.
What?
He got
okay, so he's a kid genius.
Yeah. An annoying kid genius who gets loads of nosebleeds.
That makes so much sense because, you know, people talk about, you know, I read this book recently. It was really good called The Exquisite Mariposa by Fiona Alison Duncan. And she's like super intelligent, hot, like her brain just works like so fast, way faster than mine. And you can really read that in her writing. Yeah. And she talks about how when she has sex, it's like she can switch off. Like, she's in her body. It's the first time that she feels, it's the only time she feels grounded and in her body, and she can let go and she's not overthinking everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely a thing with super intelligent people.
Yeah,
when they are in the throes of sexual intercourse, they're not in their heads.
It's that, or it's drinking, or it's eating, or it's like, it's going to be one of those things that's just a distraction, like temporary, and they can really like focus on what is happening to them in the present rather than, I suppose, overanalyzing to the point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
So they're going to shag to the point of exhaustion instead.
Hey.
A classic trope.
Yeah.
Look, that happens to me all the time. I'm just so smart that, like, I have to shag the days.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that joke, but honestly, the gal has never been more celibate. Anyway, we digress. Okay, so he is super smart. He goes to uni at 12. He's got a hand job at 11, uni at 12. And he graduates with a degree in law at 17.
What?
Fucking hell.
And during his studies, he has learned as much as he could. He's literally drinking up knowledge. He's studying moral philosophy, chemistry, mathematics, and even medicine, to the point where he is diagnosing and prescribing his friends like medicine and figuring out what's going on with them biologically.
Oh my God.
He's a genius.
So, like, proper one of those, like, smart cookies who's, like, you know, like, a little bit like the Greek kind of philosophers where they were, like, medicine and talking about religion, talking about science. Yeah. And talk, like, it was, there wasn't, the morality. Like, these splits in the but same then, way that we maybe have.
Yeah. With the Greek philosophers, they found their romantic relationships to be a huge part of, like, their learning and their knowledge. They're like, it's a really profound thing whereby, like, you pass on your knowledge, especially, well, I mean, obviously it's a bit dodgy, but their, like, big thing was, like, older men and younger men, and that thing of being like, you're still discovering and learning because you generationally have intersectional knowledge, which is a very interesting idea, but, like, finding it to be a profound thing. Yeah. And I must say, Casanova has an obsession with intelligent women. He loves women who are smart and funny and beautiful. That is
so
really,
us. To us.
He would go wild for the women on this podcast.
Oh my goodness. He wouldn't know where to begin.
No. He's turning in his grave because he's so turned on right now. So he's obviously super intelligent. And at 17, he starts his law career working at an abbey in Venice. During which time.
What were you guys doing at 17?
Oh, getting pissed.
Still at school.
Honestly. Failing my A-levels, honestly.
Failing my A-levels.
Pretending
to
be you.
Yeah. So when he's in Venice, so he's moved back now, he's like kind of going back and forth for his studies. And when he's back in Venice, he, for the first time, he does this throughout his life, he finds a patron, which is very intelligent. Mm. He's like, I'm so smart, I back myself, I'm going to get someone who will literally pay me just to be me, which I rate. That energy we should all have. Yeah. And he gets himself a senator called Alvise Malipiero. I think that's how you say it. Probably marring it, but hey, c'est la vie. And Alvise teaches him about food and wine and how to behave in society and just how to enjoy life. But unfortunately, because Casanova really, really loves to enjoy the sensuality of everything, it does get the better of him. And also he's 17, so inevitable.
He's
17. And unfortunately, he picks up a gambling habit.
Unfortunately,
this really does follow him throughout his life. Also, the other thing that happens to him is he gets caught just having a little cheeky dalliance with the patron / senator's intended object of seduction, an actress called Teresa Emer, which is very interesting because also Casanova loves actresses and his mum was an actress. So I smell some mummy issues.
I definitely smell some mummy issues. Not to get too Freudian about this, but his mum was away his whole childhood off working as an actor. He clearly didn't have a mother figure in his life. So maybe, if one was to be Freudian about this, one would say he's trying to connect with his mother through these women.
Yes, exactly. And that he's always searching for approval through other women.
Yes.
The approval that he was denied.
Including Teresa.
Yeah, including Teresa. And this little dalliance, this little flirtation gets him kicked out of the senator's household. Really? And also gets her kicked out. So you know what, Teresa? No. I hope it was worth it. So, I don't think it was.
She was just the object of his affection.
Yes, but the senator would like keep people in his household, pay for them, and he was paying for Teresa as well as Casanova.
Right.
And he kicks them both out because he's like, how dare you do this behind my back? They didn't even shag. He's still a virgin at this point.
Oh, ooh. Yes, I was wondering.
Yes, he's still a virgin until one foul night.
Foul.
Oh, yes, where he swipes his V card, but not with only one. But with two women, and no less, they are sisters.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Ooh. Yeah. What?
That Minetta? Reminds me of when I played Spin the Bottle for the second time, and I played it with my mate, and the two people that we were doing it with were brothers.
Oh, they didn't kiss, did they?
No, but I kissed. I lost my snogging virginity to one brother, and then snogged his... brother.
Then I snogged the other brother.
And then I snogged the other brother.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Keep it in the family.
Not as exciting as a full-on sex, though.
Not as a full-on orgy, pretty much, with Nanetta and Martin. I should have practiced these names before, guys.
It's like, Martin. What is his pause? It's so pregnant.
Savorgnan. There we go.
Classic Savorgnan.
They were young, 14 and 16. Casanova was 17.
Mm.
And Casanova claimed that this had a huge effect on his life avocation. His avocation.
What does that mean?
His life's purpose.
He's like calling.
Yeah. He's like, this was what made me realise my calling. He remembers it fondly. However, Martin didn't. She literally went and joined a convent afterwards and was like forever praying for his salvation. Really? And let me tell you, that salvation never came, guys. That salvation never hit. Those prayers were ignored.
Right. Back to Casanova.
So he went to boarding school.
So yeah, young sickly boy with nosebleeds.
Yes.
Introduced to witches.
Love.
Yeah. Is well into that side of things. That's to come.
Ooh.
He is super intelligent. Goes to uni. Gets a handjob at 11, goes to uni at 12, 17, he's got a law degree. He's already working in law at 17. He loses his virginity. He's already playing all these patrons, getting money from them. He's using his charm to thrive in Venice.
Wow.
But once he swipes that V card, me oh my, does his taste for the Lothario life begin.
I can't wait.
So his grandma, alas, passes away. And his gambling habit gets a little bit out of hand. So he spends a little bit of time in prison for being broke. But, you know, we shove that little bit under the carpet.
Oh, fuck. So he loses all his dosheroo.
Oh, he doesn't have much dosheroo to begin with, to be honest.
Really?
But he borrows money and that lands him in prison.
Oh, dear.
Just very briefly, though. And he comes out and he's like, right, listen up. Yeah, I'm going to work in the church. I'm going to be the man of God.
Oh.
And... he's instantly caught up in scandals. Of course he is.
Of course he is.
The first thing he does, he starts writing love letters for another cardinal. Not allowed. Not really okay, guys.
So he's bi?
No, as in he is pretending to be another cardinal.
Okay.
Oh, right.
What, to get like letter porn?
Like, basically he's just obsessed with romance.
Oh.
And he just wants everyone to be getting laid, like him to be getting laid or someone else. He also, the other thing he gets caught up in is like a local, he gets embroiled in an affair between two local star-crossed lovers. And when it all comes out in the town that he's like working in, everyone's like, you can't do that, mate. People are not meant to be shagging. You're meant to be working in the church. You're not meant to be like making people shag.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but he is.
But he's
true calling.
He's like the OG matchmaker. Well, no, clearly not the OG matchmaker.
Matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find.
He is that
dude.
Always.
Fiddler on the Roof.
There's always going to be a song from Hanako in every episode.
Yeah.
Here for it.
Always.
I love it.
I know, I haven't done karaoke in a very long time, guys. I feel bereft.
Needs that scratch.
If there's a microphone really in front of me, I'm doing it.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
basically he gets himself fired from the church.
Oh, dear.
They're like, sorry, mate.
Notoriously difficult to do, get yourself fired from a church.
Yeah. as we know, yeah, as you can really get away with a lot in a church. And even Casanova is getting drop kicked out of that church. They're like, see you, mate.
Wow.
Too many scandals. So then he joins the military, but he's like, this is too boring. Literally, he's like, this is too dull.
Okay, like, so he's like, dying. He's having that very classic, I'm 18 years old experience where you're like, who am I? Yeah. What do I do with this God-given life? And so he's gone to church, doesn't work. Gone
and all
to the
these
military,
talents.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
All these talented, super, super smart, yeah. But also yeah. just wants to shag.
Yeah, so then he's like, okay, military, not for me. Church, not for me. Military, not for me. I'm going to become a professional gambler at 21. He's like, I'm going to become a professional gambler. And he's really bad at it. Shocker. Literally why he went to prison in the first place.
Because he's addicted.
And also just because, look, I don't think that's a very smart career path.
There are some fucking amazing gamblers out there who... If they go with a partner, if you're a gambler, if you're very good at cards and you go to a gambling place, right, and you know how to work it, you can make a fuck ton of money as long as you're not addicted and you have someone next to you going, okay, mate, you need to stop now.
Yeah.
You need to stop. And then you can make loads of money.
I've got real qualms with gambling.
It's not good.
I think it's. No. I think it's a true force for evil, in my opinion. But some people, again, might say that about like alcohol, whatever. And some people can do it in moderation. But I don't know. I think it's one where I'm like, this is more evil than good. And truly, Casanova's life is a wasted mind on such things. So many people's intelligent minds are wasted on that. But anyway, actually, it doesn't take full hold of his life, which we love and thank God. But he does try to become a professional gambler and really, he's no good. He loses all his money. Shocker. So then, fourth career path, he decides to become a violinist at the Samuel Theatre, which he describes as a menial journeyman of a sublime art, the mediocrity of which I rightly despise. So he hates it. He hates being a violinist as well.
He's definitely a cardinal sign in terms of star signs. If he's like beginning things and just never following anything through.
When was he? Do we have a DOB for this guy?
I think this one's quite obvious. He's a fucking Aries.
Oh, I knew it.
Of course he is.
Cardinal fire.
I knew it.
Dangerous.
I knew it. Yeah. That's very on brand.
Isn't it?
And also, like, he is the baby of the chart, isn't he?
Yeah.
Aries. Mm. And that really comes through in his behaviour because at this point, after being like, no, don't want to do any of these other jobs, I'm going to go and be a violinist, he hates it. And he goes around the city untying gondolas and making fake calls to midwives and physicians, just being like a total douchebag because he's really bored.
Fucking
his brilliant mind is being wasted, basically.
Oh, God. So he's wreaking havoc.
Yeah, he's wreaking havoc. And I mean, it's not fit. It's not fit. But despite him being the most unappealing, directionless fool, he's still getting laid.
Of course he is.
So, of course he is. Yeah. So we get to the crux of the nitty-gritty of the things we want to know about. So at 20 in 1745, Casanova went to a dinner where there was a young castrato performing. Do you know what a castrato is?
They don't have their balls.
Yes. A young man who has had their balls cut off in order to keep their voice lovely and high. Mm. And their name was Bellino. And Casanova is completely captivated. And he's like, I'm sure he's having all sorts of, like, am I gay? Am I queer? What's going on? Mm. But it does actually turn out that Bellino was a woman. An actress. Shocker. Dressed up as a boy in order to get better roles. Can we relate? Yes, we can.
Oh yes, God. We fucking can.
Her name is Teresa Landi, who makes an appearance.
Another
later.
Teresa.
Mm-hmm. Another Teresa.
And she makes... Yes, and she makes an appearance later in this story as well. And they produce their first illegitimate son. I really love the idea of him trying to be like, hello, are you a man or are you a woman? And can I have sex with you either way? Just at this dinner as well.
Mad Hello, Hulk. Man, woman. I want
Bellino to... may not have had balls, but clearly Casanova did. To go in and be like, we're going to shag.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless. Despite being debauched and having a terrible time of things, a stroke of good luck comes for Casanova in 1746 when he saves the life of a Venetian, another, actually, Venetian senator. It's clearly his thing. Because they've been out. They've been going on a big, like, wedding ball. And they're on a gondola. And this senator has a stroke. So they stop. And they're like, we have to bleed him. The classic, you're having a stroke, it's time to bleed you a bit.
It's either you're going to bleed them or put leeches on them.
Yeah, literally, leeches, same thing, I think.
Yeah.
Obsessed with bleeding everyone.
Absolutely right.
So they bleed him once, nothing happens. They bleed him a second time, nothing happens. So they decide to apply an ointment of mercury.
Oh, a classic.
Oh, no. Which I can tell you, that's not a good idea. Good. If anything, it's going to make it worse, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to definitely make it worse. Yeah, spoiler, it's not good for them. Anyway, so they apply it all over the senator's chest.
Oh dear.
His temperature spikes, everyone's panicking, he starts choking on his own windpipe, they call for a priest because they're like, he's going to choke it, literally. And Casanova's like, no, I know about medicine, remove that ointment, wash his chest and just let him be cold for a bit. And lo and behold... he makes a miraculous recovery.
Oh, my God.
The senator comes back from the brink of death and he's like, wow, you're amazing. You must also be in the possession of a lot of occult knowledge.
Oh my God, this is pretty much teaching shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is textbook. All you have to do is save one bloke's life and then you are God to them.
Save the right bloke's life.
Yeah.
And you're sorted. But anyway, this guy's like, okay, you obviously know loads about like occult knowledge and everything as well. So just like come live with me and I'll be your lifelong patron. So for 3 years, Casanova completely takes advantage of it. He is like living the life of a nobleman. He is dressing magnificently. And obviously he's spending all of his time gambling and shagging. His patron is like stupidly tolerant. The patron says, I made a joke of his dire prophecies and went my way. He was like, I'll give you money to do all of this shit, but you are going to...
You're digging your own grave.
You're digging your own grave, mate. Yeah, exactly.
Your golden coffin.
Exactly. But it's really interesting because he was obviously right about his occult mysticism, as very soon after, Casanova decided to play a practical joke on an enemy for revenge. A classic practical joke. He digs up a freshly buried corpse and to play a joke on an enemy, and the enemy gets paralyzed and never recovers.
No.
Wait, what?
How?
He's so shocked that he just becomes fully paralyzed and never recovers.
Wait, so where does Casanova put the dead body?
He just like, I assume like just like puts it in his enemy's house and is
like through the letterbox.
Yeah, he obviously like sneaks in. He does loads of stupid practical jokes, and this is one where it's like that really hasn't paid off, mate.
That is so grim, Casanova. Oh, don't honestly. Dig up a dead body. Like, just get a bloody whoopee cushion.
And that's that occult, I don't know, mystic senator was obviously right when he was like, this is not going to work out for you, mate, because Casanova literally has to leave Venice.
Oh,
because of how bad it is. Yeah.
Fuck.
I believe there's also like rumors of him like sexually assaulting women and things like that. So he's like, he leaves. Yeah. I mean, it's not a stretch to believe, is it? Exactly.
No.
We can see it. So he escapes to Parma and Casanova enters his first ever proper romance where he is in some sort of meaningful relationship for him. In fact, this may be his deepest love affair that he ever experiences with a French woman called Henriette.
Wow.
Ooh.
Henriette. So he's like, how old is he? Mid-20s at this point? Late 20s?
I'm going to say like early to mid-20s at this point.
Thank you for that.
No problem. So he's with Henriette, and in his words, he describes her as, they who believe that a woman is incapable of making a man equally happy all the 24 hours of the day have never known an Henriette. The joy which flooded my soul was far greater when I conversed with her during the day than when I held her in my arms at night.
Oh, that's lovely. So,
it really must be said that he really prides women on their brains as well as like their bodies and their aesthetic.
Yeah,
he
and their company.
Yeah, their company. And I think it's just that thing with this really fucked him over because he's young, he's fallen completely in love, and Harriet was having none of it. She wouldn't commit to him. She said she knew exactly what he was like and what he was like with women. And so at the end of their 3 months together, she slipped him a meager tip of 500 Louis and left.
Oh my
she
God.
Paid him and was outie.
End of the year, you're so savage.
Yeah. So at the end of this, he returns to Venice, sad and heartbroken, where again he starts gambling and it all... Look, guys, he lost the 500 Louis. We all knew it was going to happen.
Spoiler. Right down the drain.
He's crap at gambling. It's not his
forte. It's not good. Stick to the violin, mate.
Yeah, truly. And the untying gondolas, because that's working out so well for you.
Yeah.
But he loses all his money. And in Paris, In 1950, he moves to Paris.
Oh, we all have to move
to
Paris.
But he's a bit of a traveller, isn't he?
Oh, let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of... And then he moved here, and then he moved here, and then he moved
all
here.
All the
peas. He's all over the shop. So in Paris, what does he do? He spends his time boozing, schmoozing, and getting into Freemasonry.
Oh, of course he does. Of course he does.
I wasn't expecting that.
Honestly, so Casanova has a weird obsession with the occult. It really is a running theme from his life. Mm. That witch obviously made a massive impact on him. The two things that impacted his childhood, witch and hand jobs. That's what happened. And it stuck with him for life.
You can trace it back to those two events.
It's such a big thing at the time though, isn't it? Like Freemasonry.
Oh, they're obsessed. Like,
they love it.
It really comes into the story.
What is Freemasonry?
Have you ever seen National Treasure?
No.
Okay. So the Freemasons were like a collection of people who sort of believed in the occult and believed in... Because there was like lots of links between science and occultism and philosophy and like all these things. It was so weirdly intertwined because it went against religion.
And because no one understood it properly.
Yeah.
It was all like the... Because if you don't understand the fundamentals of science, it sounds about as believable as some things of the occult.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh yeah, we're all made up of cells and...
And even when you do understand it, you're still like, okay, but then what? Like, then I understand it, but where did it come from?
And,
you know, it's amazing.
But we are in the 1700s, so, you know, like witches and everything, people are still well into that.
Yeah, so into it. And it was like, they were all into like all the ologies, so it was like they followed numerology, astrology.
Yeah, numerology is a big thing in this as well.
Yeah, they followed like all of these different things. And
But so the Freemasons were just a sect of occultism.
Yeah, but they were quite powerful people.
They were very powerful.
They were sort of like a men's club as well.
Yeah, and they were a very big perceived threat.
Right.
Like as in...
To the church.
To like religion.
To the church, got it.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
interesting.
So basically when he gets into that, it's like getting into kind of like what you would imagine the equivalent of like speaking to the devil or whatever is how it's perceived. So that's what he decides to get into. He gets into the dark occult side of things. Mm. And simultaneously, he obviously has to have a few love affairs in Paris. And he starts very unwisely having a love affair with his landlady's daughter.
Oh no, that's so silly.
Mm, yeah.
Yes, the landlady's daughter, a teenage Mimi, would come down to his room of her own volition, very much emphasised by Casanova in his writings, and they would languish in one another's arms. Ooh. But then, Mimi gets pregnant, and obviously her mum tries to sue Casanova.
Oh!
And rather than dealing with it, he does the morally upstanding thing, and he flees to Prague,
another
place beginning with P, and then he flees to Vienna. But both of them, he's like, oh, they're too tightly moral, so he just goes back to Venice. And in 1753, he commits his most torrid affair yet.
Ooh.
Let me paint the picture. 1753, he impregnates a 14-year-old girl.
Fucking hell.
Caterina Capretta. Thinking it would keep Casanova away, Caterina's dad sends her to a Venetian convent. But this is Casanova. And oh no, Rather than keeping his distance, he sees it as a challenge and he decides to enlist the help of all the nuns to deliver his love letters to Katerina. Yeah. But whilst coming and going from the convent, he catches the eye of Marina Morosi, who is a beautiful nun who's already engaged in another affair with a French diplomat.
Oh my God.
Morosini was apparently so infatuated with Casanova that she wrote him a lustful letter and they instantly started up another love affair themselves.
Oh,
even
my
once
God.
Putting on a sex show for the French diplomat, her other lover, who watched them lovemaking from a secret room.
Oh my, that's kind of hot.
I know, I know. And then to add further filth to this sacrilegious tale, Morosini and Katerina were also shagging within the convent walls.
Oh my God, I love it.
So it sounds like the plot of a porno, but it's actually Casanova's life.
Oh my God. I mean, to be fair, being at a nunnery must be pretty dry work. So
he's basically the facilitator of all shagging in Venice.
I love it.
It's impressive.
We go back to society where, unsurprisingly, the Venetian police weren't Casanova's biggest fan. His rap sheet reads, reported blasphemies, seductions, fights, and public controversy. Not to mention, the state spies are now being hired to look into Casanova's knowledge of cabalism, Freemasonry, and they demand to to examine his extensive library of forbidden books. He's just decided to start collecting all the forbidden books.
Oh my God. Okay, at this point, I really love Casanova.
Yeah.
I just think he's a fucking legend.
He's just stirring the pot. So his crimes at this point are completely undeniable. They're also like, you're making everyone shag or you're shagging everyone. And so at age 30, for the big 3-0 in 1755, yes, Casanova gets chucked into jail for the crime of affront to religion and decency.
Oh my God. Yeah. He is the Tallulah Bankhead of the 18th century.
Yeah. He literally is. And so all of that Freemasonry in Paris, it landed him in prison. But let me tell you, the tale does not end there. It is only the beginning of some of the most obscene and wild behaviour I have ever come across. But I am a lady who likes to leave people wanting more, so I think we're going to have to come back to this next week, ladies.
Oh my God.
But we are about to have the most epic jailbreak tale you've ever heard.
Oh my God, I just got shivers.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I can't wait, like. Links for all of our resources are in the show notes, so please do check them out.
And next week, we'll be delving deeper into the debauched life of the OG fuckboy Casanova. You do not want to miss the second half.
Right. In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own F-Boy or F-Girl story, please don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at FBoy Podcast.
And special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out,
Casanova.
We're coming for you again!